Fighting your corner, getting to the nub of the issue, finding out why, asking questions, getting answers. Loose Talk on LMFM.
We'll be returning to the age-old debate on the route for the M3 and the significance in terms of its proximity to Tara in a moment. But Michael Egan, Head of Corporate Affairs with the NRA, joins us first of all. And I can start by asking you about the new orbital motorway for Dublin, which will run basically from Drogheda to Naas. Michael, it sounds, I suppose, exciting to people here locally.
Good morning. How are you? Well, just to update people, they may have seen some publicity over the weekend in relation to a study we're undertaking. We're in the process of appointing consultants to firm up on a possible route. The consultants will revisit some earlier work going back 2 to 3 years that the authority carried out, and that identified as a broad corridor a possible route running from Drogheda, going east to the Navan area, coming down then by Trim towards Kilcock, and joining up possibly with the Dublin-Limerick, Dublin-Cork Road, west of Naas. But I want to emphasise that that is a broad outlying corridor. The furthermore extensive work that consultants will undertake for us over the course of the next 9 months or thereabouts will firm up on the viability of that route and its suitability in terms of catering for traffic movements in the region generally. It may in fact move somewhat closer towards Dublin, the M50, or alternatively, it might move slightly further west. So these are the issues we'll be asking the consultants to revisit and come up with more definitive proposals then that we would put to government.
Ideally, the road would be a C shape, would it, and you would go through Wicklow?
Well, the Wicklow dimension, I think that's very much on hold simply because of the nature of the terrain. A lot of Wicklow mountainous and has a national park designation. So the case hasn't been established that we need to go in there initially on traffic grounds, but clearly there are significant environmental issues that would also have to be addressed. So I think phase one would be to advance the detailed design planning from Drogheda, as I say, somewhere down to the Naas area, and that would cater for linking up all the very many of the orbital routes feeding into Dublin, give an alternative to the M50, and thereby take some of the pressure off that route.
But the protests, if it were to be proposed to go through Wicklow, would be so great that you wouldn't get away with it.
Well, we're not actively advocating going through Wicklow.
Okay.
Again, some commentators have identified, I suppose, the logical conclusion point would be to the north of Dublin, close to the Drogheda, as I say, on the M1, and complete the equivalent of the M50 if you were to go back to the east coast, south of Dublin. Clearly, that would link up with the N11. And as I'm sure your listeners know, the N11 runs very close to the sea, right through Wicklow there. But to get there would be difficult, and we can certainly make a major contribution to getting for movement, passenger, trip demand by linking the Dublin-Cork Road, the Navan Road, the Cavan Road, and the Monaghan Road, the N2, and finally the M1. So we're not, as I say, actively pursuing a route through Wicklow at the moment.
Okay.
We can get substantial benefits from a truncated scheme, as it were. And if in the future a serious demand to link up to the N11 is found, I know those solutions can be also identified. We're talking about a long time ahead, Mike, and it would be a tunnel through the as a possibility. But as I say, that's mere speculation at this stage on my part. The study will advance planning, certainly as far as the Naas Road.
All right, and we're talking about years down the line anyway for any of this.
Well, the government and Minister of Transport have a particular interest in the outer orbit route. The Taoiseach himself commented on it earlier in the year, and the authority is taking its lead from that, and that's why we're revisiting and developing the proposal in greater detail. In our current funding from government, we have a commitment to a specific sum of money over the next 5 years that does not provide for the construction of this outer orbital route. It will allow us to take the planning forward. We're also in discussion with government in relation to a 10-year commitment to the National Roads Programme throughout the country. We would expect that funding for construction could well come through as part of that package, and the details should be announced in the next few months by the Minister for Transport, Martin Cullen.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, we'll wait and see. Anyway, protests or otherwise, I'm sure the National Roads Authority won't be fazed by what people have to say. If you believe it's the right thing to do, that's what you will do, undoubtedly, as has been the case with the M3. And
not quite, Mike. We do consult widely. We have a very open, transparent system, and at the end of the day, on board, determine whether any particular proposal would go or not.
I didn't say that you didn't consult. I just said that you wouldn't be fazed by protests.
Brilliant.
Okay. But how do you feel about another protest taking place? Does it matter at this stage to you?
Well, we're following developments on the N3. We've complied with all procedural requirements. Due process has been fully observed. That's our position, at least we believe that. Clearly, issues will be adjudicated on by the High Court, possibly in October, and the authority, Meath County Council, and the Minister for the Environment, Heritage and Local Government will be parties to that action, and ultimately be a matter for the courts to determine whether our procedures, whether the powers available to the Minister in relation to archaeology along the M3 is to be dealt with are constitutional or not. And again, obviously, the authority hopes we come through in a healthy state from those challenges and can get construction underway in the course of next year.
All right. And whilst you await the court decision and so on, I read in the Irish Times today that you're giving academics at home and abroad a virtual tour on DVD to dispel the nonsense and the propaganda that's coming from the protesters, is it?
Well, again, we haven't described our actions in those terms. You know, I think they're emotive terms, and we don't speak using terminology of that nature. We respect the people's, individuals, race or groups, to express a contrary view. There are mechanisms through consultation, as I said before, and in particular on Bord Pinnalis, oral hearing that lasted 28 days and dealt extensively with archaeology, to deal with these issues. From our perspective, the authority would certainly welcome a situation where, having complied with these procedures, there is greater certainty attaching to the decision, and we can move more quickly to the construction phase then in circumstances where we get a green light from Bord Pinnalis. The court element will come, and again, I know the government are looking in a general sense at the procedural aspects for improving major development, whether it's roads, water supply, waste facilities, electricity generation or distribution networks, to bring greater certainty to the outcome of those procedures. And if court action is to be an element, and again, we would readily acknowledge people's right to go to the courts, we would certainly welcome the prospect of early rather than delayed hearings to bring clarity and hopefully a final decision in relation to when contracts, major projects can proceed to the construction phase.
Okay, Matt, stay there if you will, Michael, and let me bring in Dr. Marini Brúchalán, who will be on the Hill of Tara tonight with the Save the Tara Screen Valley Group, as we were hearing on LMFM's news a little bit earlier on. It's another protest. Marini, what's the point?
Well, the point is that just because due process has been completed does not mean that the process is correct. And I think that the propaganda that's been sent out by the National Roads Authority in the case of this DVD and the very glossy material that accompanies it just goes to show that they realise they have made a mistake and they're trying to justify it. It has been shown that, that the valley is just not about archaeology. I mean, we have been concentrating on archaeology for the last number of years. Tara Screen and the valley in between, which is the Gowra Valley, locally known as, is not just about archaeology, it's about literature, it's about history, and the academics that I know are not fooled by the DVD that has been produced by the NRA. The DVD is flawed from a certain point of view as well, that the angles that are taken are flawed. Also, it completely neglects to show the impact that the proposed route will have on Rathlough. It also fails to point out that this is not just a concern about a possible motorway. This is a concern about the possible development that will follow a motorway. The entire valley will be swallowed up by development. And just to see the impact of that, I would ask people to join us on the hill from 3 o'clock today and to look down into the beauty of that valley and to see what may be destroyed.
Right. Well, it's not just about archaeology, as you say. It's also about transport. It's about compulsory purchase orders. It's about communities being broken up and old family homes being split up. And there's an awful lot for the National Roads Authority to take into consideration. And I presume that that's the intention of this DVD and the information pack to be explanatory in terms of combating what you've been saying.
Well, I know, but isn't it absolutely unfair that the NRA are allowed to use huge amounts of taxpayers' money, and I'd like to ask Michael how much it cost actually to produce this and send it out to so many people, that they can use so much of taxpayers' money. This is the third time in the space of 12 months that the NRA have resorted to using taxpayers' money against us, a very small voluntary group. The government does not fund us to respond to this, and I'm very glad that I've had an opportunity to respond on your show, because generally speaking, it's difficult to respond to the propaganda, and I would call it propaganda, that has been used against us.
Okay, well, let's hear from Michael Egan, because the first time the so-called propaganda that we've been hearing about was the full-page newspaper ads.
No, there was a previous one, in fact. There was a booklet
three.
That was delivered to every household in Meath about this time last year. And again, we don't have the funding to reply to what's coming out.
And then there was the newspaper ads.
And then there was the newspaper ads.
And now there's this. Okay, so all in all, propaganda, or whatever term you wish to put on it, Michael Eagle, how much has the National Roads Authority been spending on making people believe that this is the right decision?
Not that much. Obviously, we have taken certain decisions in conjunction with Meath County Council planning the scheme. We believe that the public is entitled to have as much information as is available to ourselves in relation to the basis for those decisions, the various implications flowing from route choices. We looked at 10 routes in the section between Dunshaughlin and Navan. I don't accept that we're talking about propaganda. We're trying to inform people in an open and honest fashion. The DVD that has been attacked there, it's not targeted solely for the benefit of academics, but any member of the public can visit the Enterprise Centre in Navan Town, and there is an information, an M3 information office there, and the DVD can be viewed. We believe it's accurate. It will help to allay some fears that we've come across on other road schemes, such as the Glen of the Down scheme in Wicklow, where the story was put out by opposition groups that we were going to decimate the entire valley, remove the wooded hillsides. Again, I'd encourage anyone who has bought into that theory to go down along the new dual carriageway through the Glen, and I'm no doubt any reasonable people will be amazed that there was so much controversy in relation to the removal of so few trees. But the information is there, and I'd welcome people to view it.
How much?
At the top of my fingers now, I just don't have it, but this is a relatively cheap production. We are giving it limited circulation. It's part of our information series that we're committed to developing for all our major road schemes in respect of the archaeological dimension, and we're distributing academics.
Roughly how much, Michael? Because at the end of the day, you have a huge budget.
It's only,
the type
only
of budget that would allow for
thousands
the
of euro. It's a relatively small print run at the moment. It is high-quality publication, and again, I'd welcome everybody to view it in the Enterprise Centre, the M3 Information Office.
And thousands of euros as well on the leaflets that were sent out to the people of
Meath. We spent some thousands, yes.
Yes, and hundreds of thousands of euros undoubtedly on the newspaper ad.
But clearly, as I say, there is an information deficit there from the point of view of countering the erroneous and inaccurate information that has been put out.
It's not erroneous, Michael, and you know that. I mean, if people are to visit the archaeological site that you've started digging up there, it's right beside the N3. I mean, we were assured, you know, that the motorway would be further away from the hill than the existing N3 and all this.
Sorry, Maura.
Hold on a minute now. Wait, let me
finish. Much further away.
No, No. You know, it's there now to be seen where the dig is actually happening.
And it is
exactly beside the N3. Hold on a minute. It's going to cross the road. And I would ask people to go up there and visit and have a look. And, in fact, the dig is happening right beside the Gowra River. And the Gowra River, from which the... which is the same name as the valley. I mean, these places are essential to our early Irish literature and history. And I would also ask, when you were taking into consideration the chosen route, how high did archaeology come in the most sensitive archaeological area in the country? How high did it come? You know, was it first? Was it second?
Well,
it's a melting pot.
It's very important.
We have to come up with balanced decisions. Mike made comments about communities being split. The alternative route one of which is favoured by many of those opposed to the approved M3, would go to the east of Skreen. It would have devastated the community there.
Well, we didn't choose that
many houses.
Well, I just clarified this.
Would have been adversely affected.
Just clarify this issue, Michael Egan, about the.
We have to respect the people that are living in the area
we
today.
Do, of course.
But the distance.
I don't think this is respecting the people who live there either.
And people can join you, Muireann, up on the Hill of Tara today at 3 o'clock. But Michael Egan, for those who can't make it there, just clear up this issue of the proximity to the hill for the motorway.
People will see the dig there for themselves.
Michael Egan, you say it's further away than the existing entry.
Well, there are 2 points, north and south of Tara, where the road will cross the entry.
And it gets closer to the hill than the original road.
At its closest point, to the top of the hill, the road is 2 kilometres. And
4 fields away from the top of the hill.
But 2 kilometres. The existing road is only about 1 kilometre.
Irrelevant, Michael, anyway. The point is that the valley is the most sensitive area in the country, and that route should never have been chosen. And the new CEO of the NRA, Fred Barry, told my colleague Edel Branagh and Conor Newman that if the route selection was taking place today, this route would never have been chosen.
Denied that emphatically. Now, I'm sorry, Muireann, we've now had another example where you have distorted.
No. You can talk to Edel.
Has clarified
that to
us.
Talk to Dr. Edel Branagh and ask her what Fred Barry said to her.
And Fred Barry can talk for himself, and I'm telling you, from having checked that erroneous report on a previous occasion, it is of has no foundation whatsoever.
You are up against it, though, aren't you?
Hold on, Michael. Are you calling my colleague a liar?
I'm telling you what Fred Barry did not say in response to accusations that inaccurately represent the situation.
So it's inaccurate.
I'm clarifying Barry's position. You can take it anyway.
She's accepted that point, Michael. But you are up against this, aren't you, in terms of the academic opinion. Apparently, according to the article in the Irish Times today written by Frank MacDonald, your pact that we've been discussing has been compiled with the advice of Dr. Michael Ryan, who's the former president of the Royal Irish Academy, and he said that alternative routes for the motorway should have been explored.
Yeah, even
they were explored, Mike.
Yeah, no, but even Michael Ryan says that. And that's
they were explored over a three-year planning period. And on board Panola, the independent body made an adjudication that on an environmental grounds, including archaeology, it was an acceptable route.
You know, Michael, that originally any report, the Halcrow-Barry report warned against going there, Margaret Gowan's report,
I welcome you, I invite you to read the publication that we are
in. I have read them,
What about Patrick Wallace actually said?
Conor Newman, who's the expert on Tara, he told you not to go there as well. I mean,
Let's
hear the response.
Let's determine what can go ahead or not.
Well, what did you say,
no,
Michael Egan?
On board Planola.
Muireann, just hold on a moment, because we're getting very confused here. Michael Egan, Conor Newman said, don't go take this route.
Conor Newman is entitled to express a view.
He's the expert. It's not just expressing a view, he's the expert.
Let's hear Michael Egan.
He's not the sole expert on Tara.
Okay,
He attended, as far as I know, hearing.
He worked on Tara for 14 years for the Discovery Programme. He is the expert on Tara.
On board Panola took account of his comments. They also took account of a detailed route selection process involving an assessment of 10 route options in the Dunshaughlin-Navan section that goes close to the Tara area. We looked at routes to the west.
Yes, we know this, Michael. It doesn't mean
the
problem is right.
Routes east.
What about the views of Dr. Patrick Wallace, the director of the National Museum? Yes. The minister was obliged to consult with Dr. Wallace,
and it would appear academics worldwide.
Okay, but
people wrong.
The ministerial decision was supposedly based upon the advice, or at least part of it, based upon the advice of Dr. Patrick Wallace, and it would seem as though that advice was ignored, because Dr. Wallace, in his communications to the minister, Michael Egan, was saying that the site should have been taken as a complete
landscape.
And not individual sites.
As the minister said, when he got those comments and when he issued the directions, his task at this point is not to revisit the entire planning process and to second guess on board Planola's statutory role.
In other words, he said it was too late for that, but this goes back to the original point that Muireann Brúchalán was making. Is the process flawed?
But the process is flawed, because the minister, in fact, could have said that each one of the 38 sites should be preserved.
Michael Egan should on board Planola have consulted with Dr. Wallace.
Dr. Wallace is entitled to make submissions to the board if he wishes. It's an open process. Anyone can go to an oral hearing or make written submissions in advance of the oral hearing. On the issue of whether the process is flawed or not, it is not the job of the NRA to determine whether it is or isn't.
I agree with you.
We simply operate within the rules as laid down by government.
When do you predict, Michael Egan, that this road will be built? Will it be 2015, as we've been hearing?
Certainly not our expectation. We are moving ahead and advancing well in relation to the tender award process. In the last week or so, just slightly longer than that period, we have identified what we believe to be the preferred bidder for the contract, and we're working with that company, Eurolink, to finalise the tender award process. We anticipate archaeology will be dealt with over the next 6 to 12 months approximately.
Oh, Michael, construction, please.
We know.
6 to 12 months. I mean, that's criminal.
Well, that's a view. And there's another view that says it's not. But we all know, factually, how slow and cumbersome the judicial system is.
Well, as I say, we're expecting a High Court hearing in October. One of the reasons why it's October and not an earlier hearing is that the courts are awaiting a Supreme Court judgment on the constitutionality of aspects of the 204 National Monuments legislation. There was a challenge earlier this year to that legislation relating to the South Eastern Motorway on the M50 in Dublin, and the High Court found in favour of the government, but that has been appealed to the Supreme Court. The outcome of that could have some bearing, and that's why we're waiting for an October hearing. Now, we would hope there would be a relatively speedy judgment delivered on foot of that further hearing, and we'll await developments from there.
It could end up in Europe, couldn't it?
Well, I don't know. Murren is saying that the whole process is flawed, that the EIS is flawed. There were procedures allowing for challenges within an 8-week period following on board Pinola's decision, which was delivered in August 2003. Those opportunities were not taken up. I think it's
some of us
highly, highly alarming
some
and disturbing.
Some of us don't have the money that the NRA has.
2 years down the line, having missed the legal opportunity to challenge the adequacy of the EIS, that people are still attempting
we
to
all,
make
we all know how,
this
sorry,
project.
We all know how much it costs, and we don't all have the funding of the NRA behind us to go to court. Now, there's 2 points I want to
make. It hasn't proved to be a bar on others and other road schemes around the country, Maureen.
There's 2 points I want to make.
Okay,
in 1972, Carol O'Dolly delivered a judgment that said the Hill of Tara is properly to be regarded as a single unified site and not a series of separate archaeological monuments. Now, that ties in completely with what Pat Wallace has said and what Conor Newman has said, and they are the experts, remember.
Let the court decide, ultimately.
Well, it shouldn't have to go to court. I honestly think that even at this late stage, that people should sit down together and find an alternative. There are other alternatives, apart from motorways, for example. Opening the railway line is an alternative.
Okay.
Your original idea of widening the N3 is an alternative.
All right.
And we will be presenting these ideas.
Process.
We will
about
be
the living.
We will
be factored in as well as the past.
These arguments backwards and forwards over the last number of years. But thank you both for joining us once again with the same old debate. There's no end to it in sight. But as I say, my thanks to Michael Egan, Head of Corporate Affairs with the National Roads Authority. Also on the line there was Murrenee Brúchalán, spokesperson for the Save the Tara Scream Valley Group. And as we've been hearing, another protest takes place today, 3 o'clock on the Hill of Tara.
The Loose Talk crew are standing by to take your call. Phone our comment line and speak to us now. 1850 715 958.